Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Pei Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Ches. I'm an Aleph, five lines from the top. We learned in the Mishnah, Chasmo Eidim B'Rosh Hadaf, if the Eidim are signed on the top of the paper, Natsat from the side, or Me'achore from the back of the paper, in all these cases, the get is not a valid get. Ask the Gemara, any, is that the halacha? For Rav Chosam and Asad, Rav would sign the get from the side. So ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that how could Rav done it when a Mishnah says that you may not do it? Answers the Gemara, Chosam, the case that Rav did was Bishkagoi Klapa Iksav. That means Rav's signature faced the text of the document. So the fact that his signature was facing the text of the document is a clear indication that he meant to be testifying on what the document said. Ask the Gemara, Elohad Dektani, if that's the case, this that we learned, Hekev, we learned in our Mishnah, Hekev Rosh Shelzeh, Betzad Rosh Shelzeh, that if one put the top of the get to the top of the other get, the Eidim b'emtza, and the Eidim are between the two getim, so the Eidim are not signed, the upper get is facing upwards, the bottom get is facing downwards, and the Eidim are signed between the two getim, the Halach is shneim psulim, both getim are pasul. But ask the Gemara, why would that be the case? Lechsi, haimnai klapiksav, let us see from which of these two gittin, the roof of the signature are facing the tat. The Gemara is assuming that the signatures are parallel to the text of the two gittin. And since the Gemara is assuming that the signatures are parallel to the gittin, so that should be enough, according to the Gemara's learning, that Luskashit should be kosher. Answers the Gemara, Hasam the Ramalei Ke'ivra. The Mishnah speaks about a case that the signatures are not going across right to left. They're going perpendicular. So therefore, since the signatures are perpendicular to the two texts, so it's not clear that the signatures are there to testify on what it says on the text. And since it's not clear that the signatures are there to testify to what is in the text, that's why they cannot be considered valid. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, that the way the signatures in our Mishnah are, that they're going upwards, they're perpendicular to the text, Sefer Diktani, then the Mishnah continues to teach us, Rosh Shalzeh, Betzad Sefer Shalzeh, Veidim be'emtza. So the way we learned the Mishnah, it means that you have two texts. You have two texts, one on top of the other, going from top to bottom. Veidim be'emtza, and the Eidim signature are between those two gittin. Eshe Eidim nikron imoy sofer kosher. The text with which the Eidim signatures correspond, that text will be kosher. So the way we learned the Mishnah, when we learned the Mishnah, we understood it to mean that they're signed on the bottom of the upper get, they're not signed on the bottom of the bottom get, and therefore the get to which they are signed, the upper get which their names are signed under, is going to be, that's going to be a good signature. But ask the Gemara, if we're learning now that that's not the way the signatures are working. The way we're learning now is the Ramei Ibra, that the signatures are going perpendicular. They're going not right to left. La b'hadi hai mikri v'la b'hadi mikra. So they're not being read along with the text. If they're not being read along with the text, why would it be a kosher? Why would the get be a kosher get? Says the Gemara, a Rav. The Gemara says, Rav b'diski have a chasam. Rav would sign on the side of the summonses written by the Bezdin, but he would never sign as a witness. In other words, he didn't sign as a witness. A witness, the Gemara is teaching us now, cannot sign a get that way. What happened here was that Rav would just sign the summons to give the summons some strength. If the person who received the summons had on the summons Rav's name on it, so obviously that's going to be something that people are going to take more seriously. We learned in the Mishnah, get your kasa of Ivris, a get that was written in Ivris and the signatures in Yavanis, vice versa. And then we learned in the Mishnah that the Mishnah Torah ksav cipher, if you have the writing of the cipher and aid kosher. So says the Gemara, when the Mishnah says ksav cipher, says the Gemara, we're not to understand that it means the writing of the cipher, because that would indicate that the get doesn't have, that would indicate that you only have to have one signature on the get, which of course is not true. You need to have two signatures on the get. So what the Mishnah means, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, is chsam soifer sheninu, that the soifer is signed as a witness on the get. And what is there for the chiddush of the Mishnah? Going back to a Gemara that we discussed earlier in our Masechta, and that is that Mili, we learned the sugya Mili le'mimser mishliach, that a shliach cannot ask another shliach to do something on his behalf. And what our Mishnah is teaching us is that if we see a cipher signed in the get, we don't need to be concerned that the person or persons that the husband had asked to be Edom had asked the cipher to sign it, because he holds that nobody signs a get unless they were asked directly by the husband to sign the get, and therefore the get is fine. Again, says the Gemara, Amar of Chizda, whose opinion is our Mishnah following? Hamani, Rabbi Yossi, however. And therefore, you can't ask somebody to sign the get, only the husband himself. So if we see the cipher signed on the get, we can be confident it was the husband who asked the cipher. Says the Gemara, Hahik Subis Chasanim, there was a Ksuba Dasl Kamed Ravua that came to Ravua, Davi Yodelei, the Tufsup, Lachsami Yodedat Sadam. They were familiar with the handwriting of the cipher, and they also were able to recognize one of the signatures of the Edom. But we know, in order to certify, you have to be able to recognize both signatures. But says the Gemara, Savalach Shura, Rav Avuah wanted to say that we could verify this document between the signature that they recognize and the cipher's handwriting that they recognize. Amle Rav Yirmiyah, the handwriting of the cipher is not a way to, says the Gemara, to make that we can recognize, because we just learned Chsam Cipher Sheninu, that's the signature of the cipher that makes the get good. In other words, what they wanted to say was that since we learned in our Mishnah that we can rely on the Ksav cipher, on the writing of the cipher, that should be satisfactory here. So he told him, that's not what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about the cipher's hand. The Mishnah spoke about the cipher's signature, not about the cipher's handwriting. We learned in the Mishnah furthermore, Kasav Chanichasa V'Anichasa, if we wrote not the name of the husband and the wife, but their Pashup Shat, it means their surname. We're going to see in our shir what that exactly means. The halacha is the get is kosher. Tana Rabbanan, Chaniches Ovev Begitin Arasar Dairis. If you write the forefather, as long as the forefather is within the last 10 generations, that is what the Mishnah says. That's what the Mishnah means, that it's a valid way of identifying a name. Shim ben Elazar Omer Shalosh Dairis, three generations it's kosher. B'kan ve'elech, but if you go back more than three generations, then it's pasul. The Bel Shem Tov used to say that when somebody makes a wedding, that the forefathers up to 10 generations come to the wedding. And they say that the source for the Baal Shem to say that it goes back 10 generations is what we just learned in our Gemara, that we see that the Gemara says that it went back, that the that a family is considered connected 10 generations back. Says the Gemara, Kaman Oz L'Hodam Rav Chanina, who does the opinion that says, Kosov Chanichas Ovi Begitna At Sholosh Toros, that we learned in our Mishnah, if you write the family name up to 3 generations, it's fine. Kaman, whose opinion did that represent? It's the opinion that we just learned of, it's the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Amar Rav Huna, my craw, says the Gemara, what is the pasis? Where do we find the pasuk that 3 generations back is still connected? Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, Kisolad bonim u bnei bonim v'nashantim. So the pasuk speaks about bonim u bnei bonim. We speak about three generations. And as I sort of was trying to explain, what does the pasuk mean to say here? What does the Gemara mean to say here? What the Gemara means to say is, up to 3 generations, you remember your forefathers. But once it's past 3 generations, you don't remember. It's interesting, tshuva that the Noi de Behuda has, where somebody left a tzava, that he's leaving over a foundation that should support up to 4 generations of his descendants who are sitting and learning Torah. And the question is, who is considered generation one? Is generation one the person himself, or is generation one his son? So he says that from our pasuk that says that Soilet Bonim, Ubnei Bonim, so, and the Gemara is saying that it represents 3 generations. How does it represent 3 generations? Because the person himself is generation one, his son is generation 2, Ubnei Bonim, his grandchildren are generation 3. So see, whenever we count generations, then the first it starts from the person himself. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Lechaver Etz Yisrael was not destroyed, Ad She'Avdu Ba'Shevet Bet Adinim. And 3 families from the Malchi Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah. Ve'Elohim, Yeravim ben Nevat, he was from the Shevet Ephraim. Basha ben Achya was from Shevet Yisachar. Achav ben Amri was the Shevet Ephraim. Yehu ben Nimshi was from Shevet Menashe. Pekach ben Ramalia says, Pekach ben Ramalia, or Menachem ben Gadi, with Hoshea ben Ela. Hoshea ben Ela was from Shevet Ruvain. And the Gemara says that Shinamar, Umlala Yilad Shiva, Nafcha Nafsha, Ba Shimsha by Joy, Busha Bechapra, that all these people are embarrassed because why were they embarrassed? Because they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Says the Maral in explaining this Gemara, he said, what Avodah Zarah represent is that when there's Avodah Zarah, there's no Shechina. And he says, when the Bat Edinim, when the leaders of Klal Yisrael begin to worship Avodah Zarah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in such a place, there can't be Shechina. As long as at least the leaders of Klal Yisrael are doing what's right, there's room for hell. There's room. But if the leaders of Klal Yisrael start to do what's wrong, then there cannot be any more room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Arav Ash, Ami Maikra, how do we see that the Churban is going to be after 7 generations? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says Kisoled Bonim Ubnei Bonim Ubnei Bonim. Kisoled is 1 generation, Bonim is another 2, Ubnei is another 2, and Bonim is number 2. So the pasuk is saying when you have 7 generations of worshiping Avodah Zarah, that's when the Klal Yisrael will unfortunately go into Goris. Says the Gemara, Omalei Rav Kahana Rav Asi L'Rav, K'sibbe B'Shebe Leila. The Pasuk, when it speaks about Hashir ben Allah, it says V'yaser Rabbi Hashem, he did what was wrong. Rak loy kamalchi yisar shalifonav, but he wasn't as bad as his predecessors. The ksiv in the pasuk says, "Olo alav olo shalmesa malchasher." He was attacked by shalmesa malchasher. V'hiloy yeshaya eved v'yeshloy mincha. So now the question is obvious. He, the pasuk says, was not as bad, and yet he, by him they were punished. Amalehem, says the Gemara, what happened here was, Oisapad says, Shahoshav Yeravim al Drachim, Yeravim ben Nevat did not want that Klai Yisrael should be oil regal. So he made Avodah Zarah in the two parts of Eretz Yisrael, in the north and in the south, and he put up guards to make sure that nobody should be oil regal to Yerushalayim. Ba'asheya, Hashay came and Bitlon. And in fact, the Medrash says that the Gemara says that Tu B'Av, 15th day of Av, is a Yontif. And one of the reasons that the 15th day of Av was a Yontif was because on that day was the day that Hoshea abolished those guards that prevent the Klal Yisrael from going up to be Oil Regal. Vav became, and even though he abolished them, Loyola Yisrael Regal. So now they had an opportunity to be Oil Regal, and they still didn't take that opportunity. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, so at that point, that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Oysim Shanash Loyola Yisrael Regal, all those years that Klai Yisrael did not go to Oil Regal, Yel Chavashevi, now they should go to Golos. So the question is why? So I saw the Mepharshim say, as long as Yeravim ben Yevat had prevented them from going up to Yerushalayim, they could blame it on Yeravim ben Yevat. But now, that excuse is no longer here. Since that excuse is no longer here, nobody was preventing them from being Oil Regal, and they still weren't Oil Regal. So now it's obvious that it's their own fault that they weren't Oil, it's their own fault that this is happening. If that's the case, that's why they got punished, not only for that time, but for all the previous years as well. So the Sefer Avos Eisen asks that yes, there's a mitzvah to be Oil Regal, and they weren't Oil Regal, but do Klal Yisrael get punished so severely for such an Aveira? So he answers, the Pasuk says, that the Torah says that when all of Klal Yisrael will go up to Yerushalayim to be Oil Regal, they need not be concerned that anybody is going to touch any of their belongings and their land and anything that belongs to them while they're being Oil Regal. Here what happened, he explains, what is the opposite, that if they're not Oil Regal, it causes Oil that that people should want to overtake their country. So the fact that they were Oil Regal brought upon them that they should be punished. So now I saw that the Mepharshim asked the Kasha. Here we're saying that we said a few moments ago that why is Tu B'Av a Yontif? The reason we said Tu B'Av is a Yontif because that's the day that they stopped these guards who stopped them from being Oil Regal. But now we're learning the Gemara that even when they stopped their guards, these guards, they still weren't Oil Regal. So why is that a Yontif? So I saw that the Mepharshim explained, certainly the Tzaddikim who lived in their time did take this opportunity when they stopped the guards to be Oil Regal. But most people, what the Gemara means to say is that most people did not take advantage. Says the Amar of Chizda, Amar of Merukva, Amar Lai, Amar of Chizda, Amar of Yimya, Darsh Merema, Maidik Siv, Vyishkar Hashem al Ara, Vyivya Elenu Kitzadik Hashem al Keinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the Gemara, Shum the Tzadik Hashem al Keinu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Tzadik, so Vyishkar Hashem al Ara, Vyivya Elenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rushed to punish us. Says the Gemara, what the way to understand the Pasuk is, Tztoka Os HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a tztoka with Klai Yisrael, Shehigles Golos Tzitkiyo, that he sent Tzitkiyo to Golos, for dying girls, Yikon Yikayemis, even though there was still Talmid Chachamim, the Ksiv Be'Begosh Chanyi V'Acherish V'Amazga V'Elef. So the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us to Golus while there were great Talmid Chachamim still in Bavel. Why are they, what is an indication that there were great Talmid Chachamim? Says the Mar Charish, when they start saying Divrei Torah, Nasa Kol Kacharshin. Everybody remained silent. They said such profound, beautiful Divrei Torah that everybody was just bewildered. Masgar, Shekivin Shoygrim, once they say something, they say a decision, they answer a question, Shuv Ein Paiskin. Nobody could say anything. The Kama, how many of those great people were there? Elif. So I saw that the Pasha Pasha in the Gemara is that it was bad enough that Klal Yisrael were going into Golus. But it would be, of course, much worse if they would go into Golus and they would have no way of learning Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for them a tremendous chesed that in the Golus there were these Talmid Chachamim who were there from before, who were able to teach them Torah, and they should be able to survive in the Golus. Ula Amar, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Kitzadku Shem Elokeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a stock with us? He says, Shehigdim Shtei Shonim Elam Nesantim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Churban after 850 years, 2 years before it was supposed to happen. The Golus was supposed to happen in the year 852, but that's the gematria of the Neshantim. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have waited till that point, there would be no remnant of Klal Yisrael. Says the Ma'amar of Acha by Yaakov, once we've learned that the Neshantim means 852, that when the Pasuk says the Neshantim means 852, so the Pasuk says, Hedos Bechem, Maher means before 852 years. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he would have waited for year 852, if he would have waited for year 152, then there would be no remnant of Klal Yisrael. And the way I saw that the chart of a Rebbe in his Sefer Ginzei Yisrael explains this Gemara, he explains that we look at all of the nations of the world. Many great nations, many great empires have come and gone. So he explains, what does that mean? He explains that those empires who have come and gone, what happened is that they, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu predestined that they should have an expiration, how long they should be able to exist in the world. And Klal Yisrael also was like all the other nations of the world that had a expiration date. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that we should not have to suffer because of that. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was that he made us we came out 2 years, we went to Golus 2 years before the expiration. And like that, we weren't completely wiped out. The Kli Yoker says that the Medrash says that when Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav, the sun set 2 hours before it normally does. And the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu says, V'yikach me'avne ha'mokoyim v'yosem me'roish Esav. This was a remez that 2 years before the Golus was supposed to happen, did the Golus really happen? Why did it happen 2 years before? That because that was the Makom HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending Yaakov Avinu remez that the stones, that the Churban will be 2 years early, that so it shouldn't be permanent. And in fact, those stones, I saw the Kli Yoker says, is the basis for the minig that Ramak quotes, that some people, Tisha B'Av in the evening, sleep on stones. Says the Gemara, get m'usa. If a get was taken from the husband by force, if the husband was forced to give the get because the Beis Din decided to be Yisrael, the Beis Din decided that this person must divorce his wife, and it was the Beis Din that forced it, kosher. But the halacha is that even though a get that's given by force, the halacha is the Beis Din could force the get to be given, but the husband has to ultimately agree to give the get. As the Gemara says often, Kaifan I say we force him at Shiyoyme Roitzani, until he says that I'm prepared to give the get. And as the Rambam explains, how do we reconcile that statement? Kaifan I say we force him at Shiyoyme Roitzani, until he says I'm willing. If he was forced, it means he's not willing. So the Rambam explains that every Jew really wants to do what's right. What prevents him from doing what's right is the Yetzahara. When Beis Din forces him to do what's right, his true inner self comes out. And Kaifer I say actually Yetzahara. However, it was a court of non-Jews that forced them to give the get. Under those circumstances, puzzle. And even if ultimately he gave the get willingly, or kaifan asach yamiratani, if he was forced by Oivde Chavim, then the get is puzzle get. Continues the Mishnah, Oivde Chavim, if the husband did not listen to what Beis Din said and did not give the get, so Beis Din wants to employ non-Jewish authorities to help them achieve that the husband should give a get. They could take Ovdik Chavim to force him to give the get. And they say to him, do what the Beis Din is telling you, and the Mishnah is saying that would be a kosher get. So our Mishnah says the Gemara, Aram Nachman Amishmu, get a Musa b'Yisrael, if a husband was forced to give a get, Kedin, in the case where the halacha says that's what should be done, where the halacha says that the husband should divorce his wife, kosher. Shaloi din, but in a case where there is no din saying that he has to do the halacha, the get, posel, the get is not a valid get, or posel, and the get does accomplish this much. We've learned earlier that, of course, grusha may not marry a kohen, and if a woman has a get that was received under duress, that we're learning now is not a kosher get, it's still enough of a get that this woman should never be allowed to marry a kohen. If Ovi Kachavim forced him to divorce his wife, Kedin, in the case where Beis Din, where halachically he's obligated to give the get, posel, the get cannot be used, and still poisel, it's enough of a get that she cannot marry a kohen. Shloikedin, where it's a get that there is no halachic basis to force him to give a get, then it's totally meaningless. I feel reich a get ain boy, and she could even get married to a kohen when she ultimately receives she could even get married to a kohen. She's not going to be considered a grusha. Ask the Gemara that we just learned that when Akum forced him to give a get in a place where halachically he should be compelled to give a get, the halach is haget posel or posel manushach. Ask the Gemara on what Shmuel just said. We don't understand. If the halacha gives the Akum the ability to force somebody to give a get, so then if we recognize that, so why when they compelled him, when the halacha says that he should have to give a get, that the get's not a good get? They're doing what the halacha says should be done. And therefore, in such a case, it's guri nami lishker. The get should be a kosher get. On the other hand, and if you're going to say that what they do because their akum is meaningless, so then the halacha is mifsal loy lifsal, so their act should be completely meaningless, and therefore if the act should be completely meaningless, then she should not be considered a grusha to any extent, and she should be allowed to marry a kohen. Answers the Gemara: Amar Mishash Dvatar get the Musa of Avd Kachavim. Indeed, a get that was achieved through Avd Kachavim, no matter what, when achieved by Akum's kosher. Matamp Amar Pasul. Why did they say it's Pasul? Shloite Kol Achs V'Achs Halachas V'Toyla Atzma Avd Kachavim. That women who want to get divorced will hire Akum to force the husband to give a get. And they're going to force the Akum, even in cases where they are not allowed, they're not to be compelled to give a get. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that, but so therefore, when the Akum forced to give a get, even when it was right, even though we're not letting the get be a good get, it does accomplish that much that she can't marry a kohen. So says the Gemara, Ihochi. If there is now, as we learned, a circumstance that the Akum's compulsion is recognized in Halacha, so then why, when the Akum forced him to give a get Shleikadin, where Halacha doesn't obligate him to give a get, why is the Halacha filu a reich and get a boy that it's totally meaningless, that the get is completely discounted? The Nevi, why should it not at least be considered equivalent to Shleikadin Kisrael, like a get that was given when Yisrael could force them to give a get when he really wasn't obligated to give a get? Mifsal nami lifsal, and at least it should accomplish that she should not be allowed to marry Kain. Says the Gemara, l'hodim mishashia. This there a mishashia said that when a person is obligated to give a get, even Akum could force him to give a get. Says the Gemara, bedusi, he is incorrect. It's not the place for the Akum to get involved in our situation. The Akum have no right to, even if halakhically it may be warranted, that's not the place for the Akum to be. Says the Gemara, the Tamamai, why did Chazal say if he was compelled by Akum to give a get in a case where he should be compelled, that accomplishes so much that she can never marry a kohen? Answers the Gemara, Kedin b'kedin the Yisrael Mechlev. Since this is a case where he should be giving a get, it can easily get confused if he's being forced by a Jew or he's being forced by a non-Jew, because both have the similarity that he is indeed obligated to give a get. And because we have such a situation and we have room for this kind of confusion, that's why Chazal said that that get that was forced by the Akum in a place where he indeed deserves to be forced, that she should not be married to Kayin. Says the Gemara, but in a case, Shloikedin, where the Akum forced him to give a get, in a case where there's no halachic basis for him to have to give a get, that won't get confused where in a case where Yisrael forced to give a get halachically. The two situations are so disparate that we don't make one gzera because of the other gzera. Our Gemara is teaching us about this concept of get havim usa, and that only a Jewish court can force somebody to give a get. But the Mishnah did teach us that a Jewish court may use a non-Jewish people as their agent to force somebody who is supposed to give a get to enforce Beis Din's psak. The Ramah says that if the Beis Din uses the services of a non-Jewish agency, he says they have to say, listen, we're forcing you because you're obligated to do what Beis Din tells you. The Rosh says, even if the Akum that's forcing the Jew to give a get does not declare that what he's doing is because he's the agent of the Beis Din, the get would be valid as well. However, the Einar Yontov points out that even though the Rosh's opinion is that the Akum need not tell the Jew that they're acting as agents of Beis Din. The Beis Din has to always tell the person that we're forcing you to give a get because that's what the halacha says. The Mishnah Masechet Erchin, Daf Chof Aleph Amar Aleph, teaches us that if a man refuses to divorce his wife, so as we said, Kaifrei Soi Ad Shiyoy Meroitzani, we force him until to give the get, until he gives it willingly. And we said earlier, as the Rambam taught us, because really every Jew wants to do what's right. So the basis of that, as we've been saying throughout our shir, as the Rambam teaches us, because the assumption is that really every Jew wants to do what is right. Says the Oinig Yontif, that what will be halacha if it's a mumer who's refusing to give a get? Where can we apply, he says, the concept of Koifanai Soy Achiyam Eroitzani? He says we could only apply that concept by a Jew who wants to be a good Jew. But if we have a Jew who, Rachman al Tzlan, is a mumer, and he's shown that he isn't following what the halacha says, then by him, we cannot say the Rambam's explanation of Koifanai Soy Achiyam Eroitzani. There's a very interesting Rabbeinu Bechaya. The Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel that Avram Avinu came with Sarah to Avimelech. He divorced her, and he didn't ask her. He divorced her because they were concerned what Avimelech would do to Avram if he found out that Avram was her wife. And says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that's pshat when the pasuk says that v'hu ba'ulas bal, that Avimelech said to Avram, your wife is ba'ulas bal. But according to what we're just learning, Avram divorced her. And if Avram divorced her, why is she considered ba'ulas bal? The answer is because he divorced her against her will. It was a get musa. It was a get that wasn't done willingly, and that's why she was still technically married. So I saw that the Shalos HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachas discusses why would that be considered a problem? Avram Avinu was the Beis Din. And if Avram Avinu was the Beis Din, and the Beis Din decided that she deserves a get, so why are we calling her a Bulas Baal? So the Mishnah Halachas explains that it was done because of Avimelech. And our Gemara, he says, keeps on teaching us that when something is done because of an Akum getting involved, then the Halacha is that it's not considered a proper get. And the way we're learning in the Gemara now is even if what's being done is being done where a halacha would say to do so. But as soon as the akum are involved, the halacha is that it's not considered a valid get. If that's the case, it's understandable why there was a question on the validity of the get, because as we're learning now, it was a get that was given only because of Avimelech's intervention, or as we could say, Avimelech's behavior. Says the Gemara, Abaye Ashkel Rabbi Yosef. Abaye met Rabbi Yosef, the Yosef of Komas Agite. He was forcing men to divorce their wives. Amalei, so Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, V'adno hadyotis anon. The smicha, the real smicha, which is the ordination, which is given generation with a Messiah, generation to generation, is only given in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, we who are chutzlarts don't have smicha. And if we don't have smicha, the Tanya, the Brisa says, Hayav Tafin Aimer, Kol Mokum Shata Maitze Ingarish Lev de Kachavim, whenever you find a group of Akum, Apisha the name Kadina Yisrael, even if their rules are similar to ours, Yatru Shoy Lezakik Lehem, you may not bring your case to a non-Jewish court. Shnemar, Veil Mishpatim Shatas Lefneim, Lefneim, Lefloy Levei de Kachavim. We can never bring a case to a non-Jewish court. as the pasuk says the Tashbatz, Magid Dvar of Yaakov u'Mishpat of Yisrael lo yosachein l'chol goy. We're not allowed to bring even a case where there are rules are the same to them. We can only bring court a case to a court of Dayanim who have smicha, v'lo lefnei ajaitis. So the question he asked him was, how could you force this person to give a get? You don't have smicha. Amalei, anan shlichusayu kavdinan. We act as the agents. We act as the agents of the Dinim Netz Yisrael. Midi dehava adoras ahavos. Just like we could paskin dinim mamnis. And how do we have a right to do so? Because we work as their agents. Here too, we act as their agents. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, yehochi, that we should be allowed to do all types of cases. Chayvu b'chaveroi, the halacha, as we're going to learn in Masech the Baba Kama, you pay nezek tzar, reap yishev sabayshes, cases of kefil. Why, if we have authorization as their agents, why can't we do those cases? Answers the Gemara, ki avdin shluchusayu, when do we have this authority? The milsa de shkicha, only something that comes up often, and the Batei Dinim and Netz Yisrael saw that if they won't give us the authority, there's going to be a real concern that it's going to cause anarchy amongst Klal Yisrael. The milsa de shkichi, however, cases that don't come up often, we have no need to be concerned. Lo avdin shluchusayu, in such cases, we don't have the authorization from the Batei Dinim and Chutz Laretz. And since we don't have that authorization, we can't get involved in those type of Dinei Torah. The Rebbe of Chaya says, how do we learn this? Limud. Because the Pasuk says, Eilam Mishpatim Shatosim Lefnehem. Why did the Pasuk say, Eilam Mishpatim Shatosim Lehem? That these are the halacha that we have to follow. So he says, the Torah using the halacha, the Pasuk of Lefnehem, teaches us Lefnehem, Lefnehem, Veloi, Lefnei Akum, Lefnehem, Veloi Hajotis. So he explains, why is this such a terrible sin? So he says, when we think about Averis, so we think about murder as being a terrible Avera, we think about erva, adultery, being a terrible Avera. He says, if we look in the Gemara, particularly if we look at the Gemara Masech Yuma, we'll see that really what is the biggest Avera. The biggest Avera is a Chil Hashem. And when a Jew goes to the Arkos of the Akum versus going to the Bezdin of Yisrael, he's saying that as if our religion is limited, that our religion doesn't have the ability to deal with all types of cases, and the only way that we could achieve justice is by going to the Akum. And because when we show that type of an attitude, it creates a terrible Chil Hashem, that's why it's such a terrible Avera to go to the Akum. I saw that the Sefer called Simcha has a different approach. He says that Lefnehem, the definition of the word Lefnehem, means what was there from before. He says, what is meant when the Pasuk says what was there from before? He says, if we look at the rules of the Akum, all of the rules of the Akum, he says, are based on their own logic and their own understanding. But we as Klal Yisrael, he says, recognize that that is not the approach that we're supposed to take. We recognize that the approach we're supposed to take is the approach of the Torah. What makes the approach of the Torah so significant? He explains because the Torah is the Dvar Hashem, which the Torah existed in the world before the world existed. As the Medrash says, Estakel Baraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, or Bara Alma. Ve'eilam Mishpatim, when you have a case, when you need a decision, you should go Ashetosim Lefneyem.
You should go to what exists in the world, lefneihem, before the entire world came to existence. What exists before the entire world came to existence? The Torah. That's what we should use as our guide, not something which came later, which is man-made.